And the gospel is just a couple of verses from Luke chapter 10. And this is Jesus visiting Mary and Martha at their home in Bethany. They are the sisters to Lazarus. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen, amen. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable unto you, O Lord, our strength, our rock, and our Redeemer. Amen. I'm going to move this little doll just so it doesn't just start singing out of the blue and scare you. So I want you to focus on the sermon. So we'll put her right down here. Amen, amen. And so, I love this joke. I'm going to just tell you this joke. You've heard it. You've heard my whole repertoire of jokes. But a bear walks into a bar. Bear walks right in on the hind legs and walks up to the bartender and looks at the bartender and says, "I'll have a root beer." And the bartender goes, "Why the large paws?" And the bear looks down and looks up and says, "I was born with them." Some of you get that, some of you don't, but that's all right. It's better if it just like cascades down the pews. I told that at a wedding last week. A lot of the weddings I talked, I say, we need to take a long pause to think about love. And so I just wanted you to know that we need to hit the pause button. Amen? And this first scripture, if we pull it up, Tom, that I really want you to hold on to, it's from Psalm 48. "Be still and know that I am God." It's hard to be still, isn't it? We live in a world that just is like a tempo. It's a tempo, right? And God forbid that you just slow it down a bit. And some of the older folks here, I'm one of the older folks now at 56. But older folks know what it's like now when everybody's busy and moving, right? And hello, I'm right here. And we live in a world where today, literally, the tempo is so fast that we think we should not slow down. We should be busy at all times. And we're in a dangerous place today because we don't stop. We always think there's something else more important to do than be still and know that I am God. So Psalm 46, it's perfect, and the gospel lesson from Luke 10 for Memorial Day, when we're called to slow down and choose what is better. I want to have a show of hands about whether you're going to make your way to a cemetery today or tomorrow. Maybe you went yesterday, but less and less people are doing that. To just take the time and remember your loved ones in heaven, and also, obviously, those who've given the supreme sacrifice for our freedom. How important it is to take the time, and yet we live in a world where there is just a busyness to it. You know, when personal computers, I remember I got through all of college without a computer. I remember the old typewriters. God bless the corrector ribbon. I was like, that was state of the art instead of the whiteout. Ah! So I got all the way through with a typewriter before personal computers. And I remember when they first came out, they had an article saying personal computers and computers in general are going to cut the work week down to like 30 hours. Yeah, you're laughing, right? Because now that you have all this technology, there's more expected from you, and you bring it home. There's no punching out, and I'm done with work. It's like 24/7 you're on. And we're in dangerous times, and it doesn't matter whether you're retired or you're working still, you're busier than ever, right? Be still and know that I am God. Psalm 46 is a great song of confidence. You know that all the psalms were sung And I want you to really hear the words, and I appreciate that Jane read from The Message from Eugene Peterson, but I'm going to read from our NIV. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in time of trouble. Therefore, we shall not fear, though the earth, the mountains fall into the heart of the sea. In other words, when there's an earthquake in your life, and I love that in the same psalm, we hear about earthquakes. Now, that could be a metaphorical earthquake, right? Things that are happening in your life that you cannot control. Can you control an earthquake? You can. It could be your health. It could be your job problem. It could be lack of job. It could be family problems. It could be numerous things like anxiety and worry. It's like an earthquake and you're hanging on, but you say, God is my refuge and my strength. An ever-present help in time of trouble. Ever-present. God's right there with you in the midst of the earthquake. And so, therefore, I shall not fear. The Lord is with me. Can I hear an amen? Amen. Wow. The same psalm that talks about the earthquake talks about, be still and know that I am God. It's beautiful, isn't it? It's all right there. This is like, put Psalm 46 on your refrigerator so you know you're going to eat, you know you're going to go there and look at it. God is my refuge and my strength, an ever-present help in time of trouble. Therefore, I shall not fear, though the earth give way. It's beautiful. In fact, I want to give you a little bit more. Psalm 46 is divided into three parts, and each part ends with the word, the Hebrew word, Selah. Can you say that? Selah? S-E-L-A-H. In fact, it's 77 times throughout all the 150 Psalms. Every now and then, Selah is in there. And then it's a mysterious Hebrew word, but they're not sure exactly the precise meaning, but it's interpreted. Now, I want you to hear this because it's important. But it's interpreted as a pause to breathe and to reflect on the important words just sung or uttered. Can you take a long breath right now? And just let it out slow. Take a deep breath, right? The devil does not want you to take a deep breath and think about life. Think about God. The devil wants you to be so busy that you're stressed and you're worried and you're focused on the stress and the worry. But Selah, Selah. That's a word for you to use today when you find yourself stressed and worried and you're not looking at the big picture. When we read the Bible and we sit at the feet of Jesus, we're hearing Jesus say words to us that basically come down to, it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. Don't you need to hear that? I do. I get stressed. You know, there was a time when texting first came into vogue. You remember, all people literally died because we were not ready for texting and driving. Now it's mothers against distracted driving, not mothers against drunk driving. It's distracted driving. And you ever been behind someone that you know is texting and driving? And you just see the car go left and right, and you're like, oh my goodness, my children drive on these roads. And you think that, and I remember the first time when I think, well, I got to tell Nancy that I just got milk at 7-Eleven. And I'm driving home, and I literally, I got milk and I look up and I just miss a tree. Then I almost died because I had to tell Nancy that I got milk. I think that's so important. And we think so many things are important other than sitting at the feet of Jesus. And if we go to the next slide, Tom, and you're going to hear Martha and Mary. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. It could be translated, she was distracted by all the things she thought that really were important. Now, she did it because Jesus was in her house. Now, you might do them. I might do the same thing. If Jesus was visiting my home, I might think, okay, I got to get some food ready. I got to clean up. If he goes into that bathroom, oh, my goodness. I got to clean that up now, stat, you know. Where you have that one room where you just put everything, you just close that door, click, whew. Just don't go in that room, Jesus. Everything else, you're good. But if you open that, it's going to come spilling out. But here's Martha, who is She's frustrated. She's distracted. And here's Jesus in her home, and Mary is at her feet hearing all the beautiful words. And Martha's not hearing because she's doing something else that she really thought was. I applaud you for being here today. You probably have cookout stuff ready to get going. You have plans. Maybe how many have to mow your lawn before Memorial Day? You got to get that looking good. But you said, I need to get to church today. This is ultimate of importance. I want to sit at Jesus' feet. In fact, the biggest problem we have in society is that we're not sitting at the feet of Jesus listening. Whatever you are wanting to do, if you sit it and listen to Jesus first, then whatever you will be done with greater efficiency, effectiveness, and peace and purpose, with less stress and anxiety. 5-second prayers work all the time. They really do. And we pay for our lack of prayer. Haste makes waste. Charles Spurgeon, the great Baptist preacher, said, "The way to get revival is to begin at the Master's feet. You must go there with Mary, and afterwards, you may work like Martha." And Memorial Day is the day to do this. And every day is to do this, to hit the pause button and to sit at Jesus' feet and listen to his words. And, you know, I stress about my sermon. You think all this just happens, right? By luck, you know, or blessing. And I just plug into the Holy Spirit. Now, I really try to craft the sermon so that on Sunday morning, you actually get fed. I don't want to give you Twinkies and Doritos, right? I want to give you meat and potatoes, something that you can hold on to that sustains you and nourishes you in your spiritual walk so that you make it through a week and you come back and you say, I'm hungry again. Give me the gospel. Give me the good news. And so yesterday, I'm like, what am I going to say? Who am I to say anything? And so I'm sitting at the computer. I'm writing about this sermon, about how important it is to take a deep breath, Selah, to be still and know that I'm God. And I'm stressing out about what to say. And I'm saying, and then my cat, we have one cat. His name is Little Love. We have 4 cats. And we're like, we got 1.5 lab cats. 2 of them are like, every now and then, maybe I'll pay some attention to you. We got one that says, you sit, he's coming. He's looking for your lap because he wants to be with you. Nothing's better than for him, for Little Love is the name of this kitty. So loving. So he's like Mr. Snuggles. He's really like, you sit, he's there. And so I'm there working on his lap. He's there. He gets on my lap. I'm like, really? Now? You're going to bother me now? Then all of a sudden I stop patting him. He starts purring. And he starts cleaning himself. He goes like, and I go, I'm just going to look at him just for a minute. I'm just going to look at him. I just had this wonderful peace just come over me watching this kitty. I was like, thank you, God. Thank you that I can all of a sudden take the time before I think about the stress of what work and what I got to do. Whew. Then I got back to the sermon, and he was just purring on my lap. And you know, it's so beautiful that Jesus is honest with Martha. He goes, if we go to the next slide, Martha, Martha. It's almost like Marcia, Marcia in the Brady Bunch. Right? You know you think that, right? Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you are worried and upset about many things. Now, we don't know exactly what those things were, but he knew Martha, and he knows you. And he could say your name. He could say, Shelley, Shelley. You're worried about many things, or Dennis, Dennis, you're worried about and upset about so many things. Erica, Erica. Carol, Carol. Melissa, Melissa. Susan, Susan. First time in church. You didn't know I was going to say your name, right? You know, all of us could put our names in there. Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you're worried about and upset about many things, but few things are needed. All the things we worry about, we think they're just so important. I heard someone tell me one, Pastor John, I'm so worried. I don't have anything to worry about. I'm just stressed about. I'm like, what? But few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better. And I want you to choose what's better. It's so beautiful to think that sitting at the feet of Jesus is the number one choice. Anything else, you know, there was a man, I did his funeral once, and he took a meticulous journal every single day, a daily calendar of events in his life, and he wrote down, he had a big calendar, and there was enough room in each day, and he wrote down particular things like the weather, and the Red Sox score. He was faithful, the Red Sox score. And all these other mundane things, cleaned the bathroom and did the mulch and stuff like that. And then he died suddenly. And that next day, that was blank. And it really, it was stark for me to see that. That there will be a blank day after the day I die. Do I ever think of that day? Do I ever contemplate about my mortality and about my relationship with God that will be eternal? God is my refuge and my strength, an ever-present help in time of trouble. And though the earth give way, therefore I will not fear, for he is with me. Amen? So I pray that you understand how important it is that Martha hears this message and comes and listens. It's not like the work's not going to be there. And there's a time to work. I grew up in a house with Protestant work ethic. It was like, you can do it. And it almost backfires with me because I forget to take the time to have quiet time with God in prayer. That makes all that work so much better. Oh, my goodness. Instead of just the busyness of life, just being busy, instead of being still and know that I'm God. And I just remind you how important that is. You know, I want you to pray for me, and I want you to pray for our church, because we have something wonderful happening, our time to build. I was stressing about George cutting all these pews, and I'm like, what are the people going to think? Oh, my God. Then God said, you got to give me this. Think about, because it's going to change. Things change. Does anybody really like change? Even if it's good change, it's hard. We have a certain pattern, a routine, and even if it's a good change, it's hard to just accept it. And God said to me in the prayer, he said, think about the person, that first person that will wheel in comfortably on their own without having someone lift them up or pray that this lift works outside, that they come in on this level and they come in and they wheel right into the central port of the congregation right here, right in the sanctuary, and they're part of our church family where before they were not, because they know our church is not accessible and we say, you are important. Maybe I don't need to have a ramp or have accessibility, but we have hearts expanded for those who are. Amen? And some of you know what that means when someone you love is thought of and made welcome and this hospitality shown to them. And that's what we're doing. So I'm like, Lord, thank you for helping check my stress and that you are my refuge and you are doing this work, not us. You're making this physical work, but it's a spiritual work. As Christy Zen wrote a poem called The On-Ramp to God. So I just wanted to lift this up as we move to prayer time and remind you of a book, actually. There's a book by Joanna Weaver, if you want to read it. Having a Merry Heart in a Martha World, Finding Intimacy with God in the Busyness of Life. And she has these two great quotes that I pulled out of the book. Fretting magnifies the problem, but prayer magnifies God. Can I hear an amen? And this one is, he's calling us to the great exchange, the one where we can never lose as we trade the many things that make us anxious. He gives us the one thing that calms our hearts, himself. He's telling Martha, I'm right here. Come and be with me. Everything else you'll get to. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and everything else will come into place. And so yesterday I went to see Maynard and Jean Rinker. Maynard is a World War II veteran recovering from a fall, lives in Shrewsbury, right near Flynn's gas station. And Jean, his wife, texts, and she texts, do you know a plumber? Because we need to get a shower head on that has a handle so Maynard can sit in the bathtub and clean himself. And I called up and I said, I'm your guy. I've done those. I'm no plumber. My grandfather was a plumber, but I know I can unscrew a shower head and screw a new one on. So let me come on over. And so I went over, and it took all of like 6 minutes once I found a little wrench and unscrewed and put the new one on. And they were both, thank you so much, and really nothing. And I sat down with them, and I listened to Maynard, who's going to be 95 years old this year. And he's remembering Lieutenant Brenneman, who lost a leg in World War II. He wonders, where is he now?
I don't know if he's alive or dead. And he has a tear that just comes. And I sat with Maynard and Jean, and we laughed a little bit, cried a little bit. Maynard loves jokes. He's part of Toastmasters, so he'll tell me one, and I'm like, yeah, I could use that, sure. He might have told me the joke about the bear with the why the large paws, but just good to just sit there and listen to Maynard. And if you could do anything for a veteran, just sit and converse with him and listen, ask him questions or her, and spend time with people. Shut the TV off, shut the devices off, and just sit at the feet of Jesus by loving someone and caring for someone. And I hope you can do that. We're going to just go right to our prayer time. We only have about 5 minutes or so. And again, I lift up my brother in the faith, Nelson Ball, who's been really a leader in our church for all so many years. And of course, on Facebook, if you want to see the drawing of him driving the antique Corvette, I wrote a little something saying, you can't say Nelson without Sylvia. They've been married for 64 years. Not 82, 64 years. And I said, every time you lift up one, you have to lift up the other. Amen? Can I hear an amen? Amen. And Nelson is not only a leader in our church for so many, many years, he's the head of our fundraising committee for Our Time to Build. Very generous, but also a leader in our church, in our town. And we just want to thank you. I just want to lift him up with an applause, if you don't mind. Thank you, Nelson. Also a Korea War veteran. And so let's bow our heads. Let's be with each other. Christine did want to mention something. Christine?
I really do. You know, it's one of those freedoms I have.
Yes.
But I want to
thank
people.
Yes. Thank you, Christine. Amen. Amen. We have many other prayers. I know that Ruth shared about Ruth Holding, also sharing a prayer. But if you'd like to be part of our prayer line, just email the office and you can be part of the communication where you can pray particular for people. Celebrations as well. In fact, Jim Montague is here with us. He's in the last pew. You guys kind of move around a little bit, and I got to keep track of you. They're over here, over there. But he has a testimony to share at some point that he will. Not now. Don't worry. How about the Lord was with him when he was driving along, right, up at Tufts in his small little antique MG convertible. And it was a still day. He'll elaborate at some point. But basically, he's driving along and he just feels the Holy Spirit say, look up. And he looks up and he sees a huge tree branch just shaking like this. And he slams the brakes on, and this tree branch just comes falling right in front of him, feet in front of the car. And he's alive today because he trusted that sensation to just look up at that exact time. And he's alive today. That was about a year or so ago. But you can expand on that at some point. But let's be with each other in prayer. Let's bow our heads. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for slowing us down. Be still and know. Lord, help us be still. We just have a hard time doing that. We always think there's something to do. And we know the devil's in the details. But Lord, help us slow down and have quiet time in prayer with you. And teach our children that they could see in us that we take a pause, a deep breath. Forgive us. We repent. from our busyness. Lord, there's people on the side of the road that we need to cross and go help them and put our plans on the side. And thank you, God, that's happening today, that there are those here in the sanctuary who are hearing Psalm 46 for the first time in Luke 10. And they know that they're like Martha, and you're calling them to come and sit at your feet and just listen and look into your eyes and hear the tone of your voice and your expression and hear words of love and of peace and of forgiveness and of hope and joy. And thank you, God, that you are our refuge and our strength and ever-present help in time of trouble. We thank you, God, for the tears of David Winchester today, who just in front of his church family could just allow the Holy Spirit to work in his heart and share a message beyond words for his love for those who have given the supreme sacrifice. Lord, bless our town and what Nelson will share tomorrow. And thank you for inspiring us to make the time to say, Lord, you are priority one. That we can be better fathers and husbands and wives and mothers and grandmothers and grandfathers and aunts and uncles and friends if we spend time with you, Lord. We ask you to come and move in our sanctuary to touch hearts and heal hearts and give us that peace that passes understanding. All this we lift to you, where we just say, Selah, Selah, Selah. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. Let's stand now and sing Beautiful. It is, in fact, I believe, the Navy hymn, Eternal Father, Strong to Save. It's in the Faith We Sing songbooks, 2191, or up on the screens. Let's sing together. Amen.
Eternal Father, strong to save, whose arm has bound the restless wave, who bid the mighty ocean deep its own appointed limits keep. Oh, hear us when we cry to thee for those in peril on the sea. O Savior, whose almighty word the wind and waves of this earth, who walked upon the foaming deep and calm amid its rage did sleep. Oh, hear us when we cry.